This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi.
And I'm Travis.
And today we're going to be talking about pain. Can you imagine life without pain? No throbbing headaches, no stinging sunburns, no achy joints. It all sounds good, but the reality is pain is an indication of something that is going on in our bodies. And it is actually kind of connected to our survival, that we would experience physical pain in order to rest or to take our hand off a hot stove or whatever that may be. I can remember some pretty painful things that have happened physically. I broke a leg.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, my jumbo cousin fell on me.
Jumbo.
I think I was like 3 years old, and he was like 18, and he fell right on my leg and broke my leg. And then I don't remember the pain of that one so much, but I do remember the pain of breaking my hand. Mm. And that hurt. It swelled up.
Baseball?
No, it wasn't baseball. It
wasn't colors.
No. I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do, so we won't talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I remember twisting your ankle when you're playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I think that hurt more than breaking something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine, I've had four knee surgeries. My first one, I was a freshman in high school. And doing the injury part, that was not fun. It was uncomfortable. Having the surgery was not fun either. But the worst part of it was after surgery, my knee swelled up real bad and I had to go in and have it drained. And they had like this ginormous gauge needle, and my mom was with me and she's like, yeah, you were fine until they pulled that needle out and like, you just turned pale. I didn't pass out, but I mean, that thing hurt bad. That's probably the worst.
Yeah. So we have physical pain in this world, but the reality is we also have emotional pain, and we have pain that comes from people hurting us, or we can have pain from just situations in life, the sense of loss, or maybe you go bankrupt or whatnot, but there's pain that is involved in those things. And one of the things that we're going to be kind of walking through today is, how do we really address those things? In physical pain, you know, you put a cast on it, you take a pill, you do something to alleviate the pain. But what do you do when it's an emotional pain? What are the responses that you can have in that? One of the things that I was thinking of in emotional pain is it's not as clear cut of where it's coming from. And so the why is this happening, the cause of it, and then how we respond is super important to how we go about alleviating that pain. How we respond, I think there's really three responses that we can have. And we kind of all know this. Evil begots evil.
It's that vicious cycle.
There's a vicious cycle. Like if you have a bad day at work and you're emotionally drained, we go home and it's not always the most pleasant to be around us, right?
Never.
What's the saying? Something rolls downhill?
Yeah, something like that.
That happens. And so there's that evil response. There's a foolish way of responding. I think that happens in both physical and also in emotional. And that is where we respond, where we ignore it, we blame shift, we make excuses, we say it's someone else's fault. And we really never take responsibility mm-hmm. for that. I remember my grandfather, he wasn't feeling so well, but he wouldn't go into the doctors. When he finally did go into the doctors, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would have went in early, the type of cancer he had was 91% survivable. He didn't survive, though, from it because he didn't address that pain. And I think that's one of the things in emotional pain. Oftentimes we start by just trying to walk through it. And that's not really probably that helpful. We really need to walk in a way that is able to seek wise counsel like a doctor. And I think that's the third way we respond to pain, is that we find wise people who can help us with that. Why is this happening? What's the cause of this? And how should we be responding to this? When we have emotional pain, we seek God, but we also seek this wise counsel.
Yeah, to walk it alone is usually not good. It's funny that you bring up that story about a grandpa that did that. I had a grandpa that did the exact same thing. I mean, that was part of the greatest generation. We don't acknowledge it. We don't talk about it. We stuff it until it blows up. And I think you're totally right. To walk through it alone is not good. You run into dead ends. You can't heal from it if it's not exposed.
Yeah, and so I think when we talk about wise counsel, or the Bible talks about wise counsel, it's always directing us back to the ways of God and what's happening within that situation. You know, having insightful questions like, what's going on? How do you think that God would have you respond? Those types of things. I think sometimes we air our pain, our emotional pain, to whomever will listen. And that's also not helpful, because some people are just flat out idiots and they're not going to give you good counsel. And so how do you walk through? What does it look like in all of that? Even if you think about college degrees, and I was thinking about this, you can get a college degree in communication. All of our society is about communicating, but a wise counselor is someone who is able to listen. Mm-hmm. And able to hear those nuances of what's going on inside of us, because it's permeating that pain somewhere from our hearts. A broken heart, a marred heart, a wounded heart. Something is happening in there that is causing that. I guess you have other degrees, like a counselor, but we have to pay them, right?
Yeah.
And so they could have a degree in listening. But most degrees are about communicating. And so how do we do that? What is the biblical perspective on that? To go in and try to figure out, where does that pain? What are the diagnostic questions?
Well, you can look at some of the stories in Scripture, and you look at Job. Job's one of the first ones that usually come to mind when you hear about a guy that was suffering physically. He was suffering emotionally, lost his family and everything. And, you know, he went and found his buddies, and his buddies were not that helpful. So you would probably consider those guys not the wisest of counsel. So that shows you one area of things not to do, but he went with guys that knew him and cared about
him.
Well,
even his wife, right?
Yeah, his wife too.
His wife, everybody.
We were too close to Mother's Day. I wasn't going to bring that up.
You weren't going to bring that up. But I mean, his wife, if you don't know the story of Job, Job had this incredibly blessed life. God was blessing him. He had a great family, lots of money, all the resources, everything was going well. And basically, all of that was loss. He lost a big chunk of his family. He lost a bunch of resources. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Because she felt like God didn't care about him. And I think sometimes we all get into that place where we're trying to figure out, like, does God not care? Where is he at in all of those things? That's never true. God always cares. God is in it with us in that. But I think one of the questions that I was thinking about is the hurt that, or the pain that is there, is that caused by sin? For Job, it wasn't caused by sin.
Right.
It was actually Satan who was going to God. Well, of course he loves you. You look at how you bless him. If he didn't, it was. And so Satan caused this thing to cause, really this lie, that Job would not praise God with his words. But the Scriptures tell us that he was a righteous man, and he continued even in his pain when God took things away. But one of the things I think we have to ask is, did our own sin cause that? The Proverbs say, in Proverbs, I think it's 20, verse 9, it says, who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? And no one's going to really refute that. I think all of us understand that we're not perfect, and that we're at fault at times. And if you were perfect, then any pain that you had would be the victim. And we've all met the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And they never can see their own sin in it, their own cause of it. Not everything is a product of sin in our lives, but we have to at least be open to that in the diagnostic question. Is this thing that is happening in my life, is it because I've gone away from what God has for me?
Mm-hmm. And I think an important point is that when you check your heart and see, okay, where's my involvement in this? Did I make a mistake? Often for myself, it's been like, yeah, if I take three steps behind where I'm at now, I can be like, man, I made a bad choice there. And usually it's a result of sin that is a cause of that pain. Oftentimes, I should say, from my past and the big things that I've walked through, you know, of have implemented some of that guilt and that shame and that feeling. But we can't place all of our blame on sin, but we do have to do that heart check on it. I think there are some times that there are just situations, circumstances where things happen because we live in a broken, fallen world.
Absolutely. But when we do have sin, or maybe somebody sinned against us, it's not even always our sin, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
Like in Job's thing, it wasn't his sin, it was Satan's sin, right? One of the things that the Proverbs talk about in this kind of diagnostic question is forgiveness on the table? Are you able to forgive people? Proverbs 14:10 says, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The proverb says each of us, our heart knows the bitterness. We know if we've forgiven someone or haven't forgiven somebody. The heart is tormented by those things, and we feel that if someone sinned against us and we haven't dealt with that, what happens is our heart becomes bitter, mm-hmm. and it's just there, and we know it's there. Even as you're listening right now, you're like, oh, I feel that. Yeah, that's there. And so what do you do with that? Well, I think forgiveness has to be on the table. Scriptures really teach us that if somebody has sinned against you, you're to go to that person.
Yeah.
The reality, though, is it might not turn out how you would like it to. They might not go, oh, I'm so sorry, Travis. I did not know I did that to you. They may go, you know what? You did this, you did this, you did this, and own your responsibility in that. But also, if they do not apologize to you, really the scriptures say next what to do is you give that to the Lord and have faith that he will treat that well.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be justice in the end for that. But some of it is giving it to God and trusting in faith that he's going to take care of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you run into that person in Walmart and you're like ducking behind the other aisle and trying to dodge a bullet like that. And that happens. And sometimes, you know, I like that you point out we've got to just give it over to God at that point. Because for me, if I'm transparent, I like to hold on to things. My wife calls it a grudge. I call it not forgetting.
Yeah, but I think in our pop culture psychology, people mistake that forgiveness means that I trust you.
Exactly.
That is not what the scriptures actually say. And it doesn't mean that you're restored to back to the same place in the relationship. It means that we're open to a relationship again, yep. and trust still needs to be built.
And that can take place over an amount of time. There's no
Absolutely.
Definitive like, oh, 5 minutes were good, 20 years were good. It you have to work at rebuilding that trust.
This is a few years back, not in this church, but I had a young lady say to me, her boyfriend was cheating on her. And she said, well, he said he was sorry. Do I have to forgive him? And I said, well, you have to forgive him, but you don't have to date him anymore. I think I would advise against that. So it doesn't mean just because you've forgiven that person that everything is hunky-dory and everything is restored at that point.
Yeah. When we talk about this idea of pain and then seeking forgiveness and working towards restoration and reconciliation, there are sometimes instances where the situation, you know, somebody goes to seek wise counsel or you go to seek wise counsel from somebody else and you hear the phrase or the response from them, well, don't worry, God won't give you more than you can handle.
That's talking about sin.
And it drives me nuts because we're promised that God is going to give us a lot. And it's going to be more than we can handle. That's why we're supposed to rely on him. And so there's some situations where
you need
those. Well,
I think that's a misdiagnosis, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like somebody who is, a doctor and, you know, you have a heart condition and I give you pills for your gout. Your gout.
My back.
It's not going to help you. And sometimes I think we do that with scripture. We misuse because we've misdiagnosed because we haven't listened long enough to actually diagnose where that actually problem has come in. One of the things that I find interesting is people believing lies and people believing lies like that, like the girl that I just spoke about who thought forgiveness meant that she had to get back together with her boyfriend. But Proverbs 14:25 says, a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. And we have these voices going off in our head. There's these voices that of lies that we often believe. And you've got to sort through some of that stuff. You have to go, is this actually true what the person is saying? If it is, then I think you need to deal with it. But oftentimes we also have our own, you know, we're our own worst enemy and we have lies that we're believing. Well, I'm not good enough. I deserve whatever hurt me. You know, this is my punishment. This is my lot, you know, type of a thing. And the reality is that's probably not true.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to unpack, is this hurt in this pain that I'm holding on to, is it coming from a lie?
Yeah. We talk about a lot of this kind of stuff in our Men's 33 ministry, where we look back and we all carry around things. We carry around baggage. We all have been wounded throughout this life. And for guys, I think it's really easy for us to shove it down inside our hearts, put that manhole cover on, get the riveter out and just lock that thing up and never to open it again. And eventually that stuff, unresolved, unexamined, undealt with, it eventually comes back, you know, like a wound that doesn't heal right on the inside. You start to get that infection and then you have big problems. It festers and explodes eventually. And so that wise counsel part is really good. Like, it's okay to get help. Even in that situation that we were talking about of, you know, you feel wronged and you need to go talk to this person to figure out what's going on and find forgiveness, like, it's okay to bring in another party sometimes too. I think we often feel, especially us guys, like we can handle it ourselves, we can do it ourselves, or we can just shove it down and ignore it, and that's not good.
Yeah. Another one I think in diagnosing this is, a lot of times I think our hopelessness or some of our pain comes from our fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a world where it is kind of fear-driven, right? Like, you watch the evening news and it's crazy. Like, you know, the world's going to end in, you know, probably tomorrow, I guess. Lucky you're listening to this podcast. You think about just kind of the fears that we have, fears of finances, fears of retirement, fears of relationship, fears of this, fears of that. You know, one of the most prescribed drugs in America is anxiety type drugs, which I don't think is always wrong. Sometimes there's a chemical imbalance and we need that. But oftentimes our hopelessness comes because we're false prophets. And we're false prophets in the sense that we envision a future where God is not in charge.
I like the hope, because we want to have hope, like you said, in the security of our future. But really, our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. And Romans talks about that in chapter 8, you know, that we have to hope for something that goes bigger and longer than we can. You know, eternity is a really long time. Our lifespan is just a little blip, a vapor on the map of things. And
yeah, we get worked up over lots of things.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that I think, you know, I've been worked up in my life. You're working with somebody else and talking through their problem. You're like, tomorrow this thing might not even matter.
Well, most things don't, right? You know, your last fight with your wife, you probably can't even remember. Or maybe you can because it happened this morning. I don't know.
I plead the fifth, man. No, but I can't remember.
Yeah, Proverbs talks about this: anxiety weighs down the heart. We hold on to these things and we waste so much time, I think, with our fear of things. Remember Y2K? Well, you might be too young to remember that.
No, I was in high school and like I was ready. I was like, I don't want to go back to school for a while. I hope this thing gives us some time off.
My wife, so we got like 2 jugs of water. This is our big plan.
And some ramen noodles?
She puts them out in the garage. And so Y2K happens, and I go out to the garage, and I look at the water, and I'm like, what in the world? She had opened the water like months before Y2K happened. I was like, well, the purpose of the water was to like give us a little bit of time type of a thing, but whatever, it happened. And the reality is nothing really happened. Nothing really happened.
Yeah, I was disappointed, man.
You were disappointed.
I went back to school after Christmas break was
over. Well, I think one of the things that in that diagnostic question is, what do you fear? If you're waking up at night, and it can be something small. A couple nights ago, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. And the reason I woke up is I was thinking about minor league baseball. And I was thinking about what kid I was going to put in the infield. And I was like, I'm sitting there and I'm positioning different kids in different places. And I started to laugh at myself. I literally had anxiety about this and it was keeping me up. And I had to give it over to God. I'm like, God, I think you probably have bigger things, but I'm going to give you the minor league, little league baseball team over to you and what we're going to do and who we're going to put in the infield. And I went back to sleep.
That's good. I think that's a good point, too. Like, we got to remember that no matter what our pain is, if it's a big deal, if it's an emotional deal, if it's a physical deal, God's always there ready to embrace our pain with us. You know, as much as we feel on that isolated island, deserted all by ourselves, God is there. He's a prayer. He's a thought away from us to connecting with him.
Yeah. Proverbs 28:14 says, "Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble." And that's not meaning like I'm so scared of God, but really recognizing who he is, that he's in control of the future, and that your heart doesn't become hardened toward God. The same sun that melts the ice is the same sun that hardens the clay. And our hearts can become hard toward God, and that's a very bad place to be. And so I wanted to just encourage you today just to be soft toward God. And if you have a hard heart, it doesn't lead to a relationship that you're looking with God. And it's also not a part of that healing plan that God has for you. God loves you. He wants the very best for you. He wants good for you. And so with that parting thought, thanks for listening.
And if you guys want to catch this episode or any of the other ones that we have out there, you can go to your Apple Podcast or your Google Play and look for the Evangel Houghton Podcast. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you'd like us to cover a different topic that you're interested in, shoot us an email, travis@evangelup.org, and we'll catch you guys next time.